Okay, it's Jeff Hacker and Merrill Powell. Today is Wednesday, February 16th, and 2011, and I wanted to talk to you, Merrill, about your memories of George Lippincott. And Victor's had designed a car, and I'm not even sure who the designer was. I think you told me, but if you could tell me a little bit about the design of the car, and then the engineering of the car, and then the debut of it, where with the fair, I think it was debuted at the fairgrounds too. So if you could just take me through all your memories of that, we'll go ahead and record this interview.
Okay, excuse me. George Lippincott was president and principal owner of Nickel Silver Battery Company, which was a fairly prominent manufacturer back in those days. Amusingly enough, they had a lifetime guarantee on their battery, and if it failed, all you had to do was ship it back to the factory, and they would replace it. But, of course, very few people did that because the shipping costs for something as heavy as a battery were prohibitive. So that was kind of an amusing thing, but a good selling point for them. At any rate, Lippincott decided he wanted to build a battery-powered car, and he contacted Frank Curtis, who was, of course, very prominent in the car world at that time, and he assembled a pretty good team of automotive folks. One man had designed the torsion bars for the new Chrysler line. That was the first American manufacturer to use torsion bars. Piston Ring Jans. Bill Jans was the son of the founder of Jans Piston Ring.
Yes.
Anyway, we had a number of people, and I think principally because of our contacts with Frank Curtis, they came to us to design a prototype body. And Hugh Jorgensen, we called Hugh in to work on that. And we put together a pretty good-looking prototype fairly quickly, assembling it from various panels that we reassembled to come up with a new design without having to go to a complete plaster buck.
Now, when you say panels reassembled, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think we probably used, I don't recall clearly, but it seems that we used some S4 body parts, but got rid of the undercut on the side. The hood, if I recall, was a fiberglass splash off of a Buick deck lid or something like that. We put together a pretty nice looking prototype body. My recollection of the chassis, for what it's worth, was that it had two electric motors mounted at the upper end of trailing arms and powering the rear wheels by belts, I believe. At any rate, the whole center of the frame was just under the seats, were batteries just from front to rear axle. At any rate, it was a pretty spunky car, had good acceleration, and apparently handled very well. At any rate, the prototype was introduced at the L.A. County Fair, and was received pretty well, as I recall. Lippincott was an interesting character. He had no engineering background, and as far as I know, had never manufactured anything with moving parts. Batteries being a pretty static, no pun intended. excuse me. At the county fair, he did kind of shake up the automotive writers present by announcing that he had made a unilateral engineering decision, had gone to whatever American Tire Company it was that he was using, and had asked if they could produce a tire with an extremely narrow tread. Tires typically were 615 on 4-inch rims, something like that. So he had asked if they could, in order to cut down rolling friction and make the operation of the battery powered car more efficient, if he could produce a tire with a tread about 1-inch wide,
like a bicycle tire.
To do that, I think the automotive writers were pretty silent at that point, because the downside of that was that having such a narrow tread, it wasn't very good for handling, or and certainly not for braking. But that was kind of beyond Lippincott, I think.
I found a picture of this.
At any rate, the prototype was received pretty well, but right after that, Lippincott decided to go to somebody else to manufacture his cars, and Victrus was dropped out of the picture.
I found a picture of it. What's interesting is it's dated 1959. And it says, the unveiled at the Pomona, California Fair was a new electric car, the Pioneer, developed by Nickel Silver Battery Company, Santa Ana, California. The car, which is said to reach speeds of up to 50 miles per hour and have a built-in recharger, is pictured here with Nickel Silver President George Lippincott Sr. Could you hear that okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's, I only have one picture of the car, and I'll scan this and send it to you. And it's a stylish, it looks like it's just a two-seater. It's a very small two-seater, maybe the size of a like 94-inch wheelbase. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I'd forgotten it was that short. I would have thought more like 100, but, whatever it said.
And what's interesting is 1959 year, is interesting because Alkin, which was George Lippincott's company, was introduced in late 1958. So I wonder if he was trying to I'll have to kind of give that some thought. Because
you wonder what, Jeff?
I always thought that your prototype came first, and then he built a series of production cars based on the Alkin body afterward.
That's correct.
Well, I'm exactly the opposite. It looks like you designed his picture here, shown in 1959, comes after the unveiling of Alkin before. So,
Alkin was developed as a kit car, and he simply chose to go to them for the body rather than continuing with us.
What happened?
Alkin was present. It wasn't designed for him.
Okay. Interesting. So we had the Alkin out there first. He didn't consider the Alkin. He went to Victrus, where you developed something from scratch for him. And
then, as a matter of fact, Alkin might have still been in prototype while we were doing his prototype.
Mm-hmm.
The Alkin body may not have been available at that time.
Do you remember, was the gadgetry for the electric motor and all, was that up front or in the back? Do you remember?
Oh, no. The motors were mounted at the upper end of trailing arms for the rear suspension. The 1 horsepower motors, as I recall, which a 1 horsepower electric motor has got a lot of torque, as they say, the wheels were individually mounted on trailing arms, and with a motor driving each rear wheel. One motor to one wheel.
So were the batteries, do you remember, up front or in the back?
No, as I described, they were under the floor and all the way from front to rear. There were a lot of batteries.
So was there
probably 600 pounds of batteries or more.
Was there a trunk up front where the motor usually would have been?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I designed the hinging for that. And a pseudo air intake, looked like an air intake but wasn't, and a very simple, inexpensive hinge, and at the front, and then a fairly good sized luggage space up front, similar to any rear engine car.
So this would have had a hood opening in the front, which would have been used for storage.
No, it was the hood opened at the rear. It was hinged at the front.
Okay, so you open up the hood. So it had a hood. It had a trunk, which gave you access to the motors. Did it have doors?
Oh,
yes, it did. Okay, yeah, I'm looking at the door handle now. So it had doors. So this was a viable little car. Did you ever, once you built it, did you ever see it again?
No. Not after introduction at Pomona.
Okay. Interesting. And Victrus made a lot more cars and a lot more prototypes than I think anyone would have guessed, from the little mock-up of the C3 Roadster to George Lippincott, and remember the C2 that came out before you got there, the one that Doc had come up with based on the 1940 Ford.
Right.
Anyway, okay, well, I appreciate the time spending. Thank you for going through the explanation for us.
Okay, you're welcome.